minds and to our spirits. Praise the Lord. And so while you're standing, we're going to focus your attention on the book of Matthew. I tell you what, it is Bible study. We're going to go through the scripture, a lot of scripture. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Here's what we're going to talk about. Amen. Don't forsake the seeking. Do not forsake the seeking. Amen. Sometimes times get good. Sometimes times get bad. Either way, we should never forsake seeking God. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we want to thank you for the honor, praise you for the opportunity, the great privilege tonight we have to worship you in spirit and in truth. Most importantly, Lord, the freedom and the liberty that we have tonight to be able to engage in the Word of God, the truth. We ask you, Lord, to sink it indelibly into our hearts and our minds and our spirits that we might not sin against you, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, and somebody shouted amen. God richly blesses you. You're seated just now. Amen. Don't forsake the seeking. We're going to begin with scripture, of course, in Matthew chapter number 6. And we want to go through verses 24 through 34. I want to take a little time here and because this definitely sets the precedence for what we want to talk about this evening. Where it says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We'll talk about what that mammon is in a little bit. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. And this is not saying just get your mind on Jesus and let the food come wherever it comes from. That's not what this is saying. Amen. And we'll explain this as well. But what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, your clothing. It's not life, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow anything, plant anything, neither do they reap nor gather into any kind of barn. Yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not much better than they are? They don't have barns, and the Lord takes care of them. The Lord will let you have a barn and take better care of you. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? This scripture is asking, how many of us in here tonight know better than God how to take care of ourselves? All right. And why take thought for raiment? In other words, this scripture is saying, what's the big deal about clothing? In other words, not the fact that you need to wear it, because you definitely need to do that. There's a good commercial for Splash Sunday. When you come back at 1 o'clock, we don't want any surprises. Amen. Praise God. Be apostolic that morning in church and be apostolic when you come back for the splash. Hallelujah. Consider, the Bible said, the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. In other words, basically, they don't do anything. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The Lord's getting to something right here. He's building into something. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, in other words, today is and tomorrow isn't, shall he not much more clothe you? And then he said, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? There's a secret to all of this. There's a secret to getting all you need to eat. There's a secret weapon to getting what you need to wear. Car you need to drive. House you need to live in. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And at this particular time, Gentiles were not only considered a people out of Jewry. That were not people that were not Jews. But they were considered literally heathen. until the Lord came to the Gentiles. And I thank God for that, because I was a heathen. He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. In other words, he knows you need them. He's not telling you that you're going to have to do without them. He knows you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, let me tell you what this scripture, verse 34, means. Amen. Looking to the concerns of tomorrow causes anxiety. In other words, have you ever tried to give someone positive advice and you say, listen, tomorrow's going to be a better day. This thing's going to turn around. And then they come back with 15 dozen what ifs. What if it doesn't work this way? What if that don't do this? What if he don't say this? What if he don't act that way? If we totally get consumed with tomorrow, anxiety will take over our lives. This is because God has not given us the grace to overcome tomorrow's problem today. He's saying tomorrow's tomorrow. Today is the one that's sufficient. Amen. He has only given the grace for today's situations. Tomorrow's concerns, they shouldn't daunt us. Amen. Because we're viewing them outside of his provision. You can get an ulcer about tomorrow and may not even get to see tomorrow. It's not saying don't plan. It's not saying do not have a financial base. Amen. You know, as Christians, we live like the rapture is going to take place tonight, but we provide like we're going to be here for a long, long time. Amen. Praise God. And so all of that's a major part. But the main point that I want to bring to you tonight is that we've got to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all of these other things will come around. While our intentions are most likely noble, and we've got all good with no desire to disobey the scripture or offend God, we often do it anyway by allowing temporal matters to displace things of eternal worth. Reversing biblical procedure is common among people. We traffic in the trivial. The trivial is where we like to travel. And we spend our money for that which is not even bread. Something that doesn't even. And labor for that which doesn't satisfy. Blindly, many times, we can go on hungry, thirsty, and dissatisfied when all we need is an adjustment of our value system and a rearranging of our priorities and just getting it all together. Forsaking the fountain of living water and having our own cisterns will only produce more thirst. Forsaking our way, our thoughts, seeking the Lord, returning to the Lord is a prerequisite to salvation, but it's also a prerequisite to so much inner peace. How many of you could live with a little more of that? Yeah. Inner peace. Amen. And so God's requirements and his expectations of us always run counter to our ways and contradictory to our plans. Amen. Many times. Therefore, submission, following Bible direction, along with putting all of that first in our lives, all that's necessary, ladies and gentlemen, for us to have that peace that passes all understanding. and for the joy of the Lord to be a part of our lives. Amen. We should never, ever put stuff ahead of God. Amen. And so, you and I, we need God to help us through the guidance of His Word and the empowering of the Holy Ghost to establish this scriptural rank and file in our lives. An orderly, scriptural sequence, amen, of spiritual events have got to be established if we're going to be in harmony with divine order. God's Word, the Bible, that alone decrees His priorities for us. So what do? We study. We appropriate ourselves unto God. Amen. And we give ourselves to the truth. Then and only then will you be pleasing unto God. Defining your own priorities is a route to defeat and failure. Listen, following God's plan is a sure route to Christian living here and heaven at the close of life. I'm just telling you, it is never a misery living for God if you give it 100%. You will not only have joy in this life, but you will have joy in the life to come. Who wants hell here and then hell after you're gone as well? But who would love a little heaven on earth and a whole lot of heaven when we leave this world? So it's all a matter of choice. It's all a matter of priority. Amen. And it's not so much. I had a family member that I just kind of just, you know, they just crossed the line. And I spoke to them. I said, look, why don't you just get your act together? You've seen what it can do. You've seen the blessings of God. And they just got mad and belligerent. And they said, well, I'm just not as strong as you are. Strong as I am? Maybe the blessings of God are coming to His people because maybe they recognized just how weak they are and how that this life is too tough and I can't handle it. And so, Lord, if you don't mind, I'm just going to put all of this on you and you just tell me what to do. And that's when the blessings of God come. It's not a fact or a matter that someone is stronger than someone else. And it's not a fact of the matter that someone is weaker than anyone else. The fact of the matter, somebody decided, I'm just going to give God everything and just follow His lead. Somebody said, it's so tough, it's so hard. Yeah, it's tough when you're not trying to be tough. And it's hard when you don't go at it hard. Praise God. And so seeking the kingdom is ranked by our Savior. Who was it? T.F. Tenney just passed away. We lost another giant in Pentecost, but just very wise, and he just passed away. What was it he said? The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Keeping God the main thing, not spurts, not here and there and little shots everywhere, but finally coming to the place in our minds, in the deep of our spirits, that we're just going to make God everything. Sink or swim, hell or high water, it don't matter. I'm giving it to God. And if you will seek God, then all these other things will be added unto you. Amen. I'll add something to that here in a little while. Unwittingly, early on in life, we're thrust into a seeking mode. Our lives go into a seeking mode. And sometimes, you know, dividing and subdividing things men seek would generate an endless list. Man, the things we vie for our attention. And those things that just eat up our time, they are absolutely endless. Jesus Christ classified what men will seek after, and he classified what men should seek after. And there's a difference between what we will seek and what we should seek. And so there's two categories here. Number one, the things of life and the kingdom of God. Listen, Jesus said all these things. Matthew 6:33. Look what Jesus said. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what he said. Luke 12 and 30 and 31. Amen. Do I have that on there? Can we get to 30? I need to add one to it. Amen. Praise God. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. In other words, this, all these things, all this stuff is what the nation, what the world seeks after. And your Father knows that you have need of these things. He's not crazy. He's not so charismatic until he's just going to have you just live at church 24/7. But there's a divine balance here that brings about the blessings of God. He knows that you need these things. Amen. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And so, for clarity, I want to refer to these things that Jesus was speaking of as the things of life. There's many things that we need in life. Men, some of you ladies, because of where we are in the world today, the generation we live, and there may not be a male figure in the house or whatever, there's got to be a job. There's got to be finances. There's got to be things are a part of our human lives and our activities. Amen. And we don't just give up on that. Amen. But the things of life will come. Things of life have a direct reference to the items Jesus mentioned in his discourse there in Matthew. Jesus did, however, place the seeking of these things secondary. Do you catch that? We don't seek the things first. What we do first is seek the kingdom of God, and then the things come. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, let me make a point. If you seek things first, you have to sacrifice the kingdom. Because this is the mentality of men. If I give what I'm really truly supposed to give, and I don't play games with God, tithing, offering, sacrifice, whatever it may be. If I give truly what belongs to God, then I'm not going to have all this, these things. I'm not going to be able to get this stuff. I'm not going to be able to live like, I'm not going to be able to have, I'm not going to be able to spend, I'm not going to be able to go, I'm not going to be able to drive. I'm not going to be able, if I do like what I'm supposed to do, then I'm not going to, all this, these things are not going to be mine. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Did you not hear the very voice of God when he said, if you'll seek my kingdom first, I'll give you these things. But if you seek these things first, you're going to lose the kingdom of God and you won't wind up with the things. So there is a priority. There's a rule of measure. There's an A, B, C, and D. There's a 1, 2, 3, and 4. In this living for God thing. And we got to get all that together. Amen. It can't be haphazard. Hello? And so we've got to be on board with all of this. Praise the Lord. And so Matthew 6, 24 and 23, I just want us to look at that. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. There it is. Either you're going to hate the one, love the other, else you'll be will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God. And then the word of God said, mammon. So if you the word mammon here is a medieval. I looked it up. I researched it this afternoon. It's a medieval writing and a definition. And what mammon meant is it means the devil's covetousness. I wanted to pause, and I wanted you to catch that. Amen. It's a covetousness that the enemy literally puts in our spirit. And God's word, his plan for us, all this stuff about seeking the kingdom of God first. If we love mammon more than we love God, then we have a spirit that the devil had at the original time when he was kicked out of heaven. He coveted the throne of God. And he wanted it so bad until he caused a third of heaven to rally with him. And he was kicked out of glory. So when he forgot the kingdom of God first, he lost that and any hope for eternity back into the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if anything with the devil, let him be an example of what you're not supposed to do. Amen. I don't want the desire for mammon. That means anything that I covet over what I'm supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God and what I am supposed to be for the kingdom of God. What do you love the most? What do you want to please the most? What are you chasing after the hardest? Amen. If it's not Jesus, we need to reprioritize. So if we seek the kingdom of God first, if we want to go deep in this Bible study, we can find out that the kingdom of God, in many cases in the Word of God, doesn't even represent a place. It represents the Holy Ghost. And we know that the Holy Ghost is the very Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, seek ye first Jesus Christ, and all these other things will be added unto you. The kingdom of God's not righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat. It's not drink. But it's righteousness. It's joy in the Lord. Am I right? Amen. And so, if we're going to covet anything, covet a deeper relationship with the kingdom of God. Covet a righteous relationship with the kingdom of God. Covet a deeper walk with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen people come to church and they can't even worship because they think they're mad at their friends. Seriously? Are we that shallow? Hello? I didn't get in this thing because of my friends. Amen. In fact, a lot of the friends I got in church with are dead and gone. But I'm just telling you right now, amen, we're in this church because we want to seek the kingdom of God. Bam! Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. And if that's your purpose, and if that's your driven desire, it wouldn't mean a hill of beans to what anybody else did, what anybody else said, what anybody else thinks, or what, am I still making, hey, what we're doing is prioritizing here and getting our ducks in a row, and the first duck is the kingdom of God. And then all these other things just kind of come along with it. And we can praise God for that as well. Amen. But if we seek things first, we miss the kingdom of God and most likely won't wind up with the things anyway. Amen. I make another point. There's got to be a biblical exercise of discipline which God acknowledges and recognizes in us as seekers for the kingdom. And I know the wishy-washy charismatic-y way is God does all the cross-toting. And according to some religions, you just accept Jesus as your Savior and go and be what you've always been, and you'll still make it to heaven. I had a man tell me the other day in a business. He said, I'm this kind of religion. It wasn't apostolic. He said, I'm this kind of religion. He said, but be careful because I'll go off on you at any minute. He said, I'm a Christian child of God, but I'll cuss you out right now. I said, well, we're fixing to pray. We're fixing to pray God take away your weakness and give you some meekness. That's exactly what I told him. He said, I like that. Apparently nobody had ever told him, you know, hello? What kind of world are we living in that they feel that they can just drop the kingdom of God and let it go and everything's going to be fine? He didn't create us just to save us. But he created us hoping that somebody would actually fall in love with him and follow after him and pursue him and disciple themselves and discipline themselves to be exactly what he would have them. Is that anybody's desire here tonight, is to be what Jesus would have us to be? Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, there's... This is in no way, what I'm sharing with you, this is in no way the last word on the subject, but it is some words on the subject. And we would do well to keep a couple of suggestions in mind. Let me give you, number one, people who have more of life's possessions than we have should not be judged as putting material things first. That's not what I'm saying here tonight. Amen. Those who... may not have the things of this life are not always seekers of God's kingdom. In other words, they'd rather point their finger at somebody else for having a lot rather than put the kingdom of God first so they could have a lot. It's easier to do that than to roll your sleeves up and go to work for the glory of God. And so, obviously, we can detect from attitude, from service, consecration, those who are intently searching after the things of God. We can tell. Nevertheless, we shouldn't predict. We should not judge or categorize individuals as being right or wrong solely on what they have or what they don't have. There are great men and women of God that literally give everything they have and have nothing. We've read about them in the Word of God. And so, number two, seekers of God's kingdom present many parallels for us in the Scripture or the Word of God by patterning our lives after such people, just like them. We can determine our level and degree of desire, and we can determine our level and our degree of commitment. Amen. All right? And I'm nearly done, but stick with me here in the Word of God. I want to drive this point home. Might be a while before we get back to it. Amen. Number one, I want you to think of the Queen of Sheba. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Amen. When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with very hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, camels everywhere, spices, gold, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Solomon told her all of her questions, and he answered all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendants of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers, his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in here. She just couldn't take it. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before you, and that hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in you." Oh, so Solomon got that because the Lord delighted in him. I don't know about, I would take a note right there. To set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold. Did the Bible say that men will give unto thy bosom? We will own things we didn't buy. Blessings will come in every direction, in every way. And of spice store, a great store and precious stones, there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of these trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also, psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees nor were seen unto this day. I don't even know what an almug tree is. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire whatsoever she asked beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Somebody say, wow. This woman sought out Solomon to hear his wisdom. My question, will we go to the same or even greater extent to find Jesus, who is greater, who is above, who is more than Solomon could ever dream to be, and obtain the blessings that he has for us? There are reservoirs of blessings that we have not tapped and will never tap until we get it in our hearts and get it in our guts that we have got to seek the kingdom of God first. And then all these other things will spring forth like a well. Amen. Look at the disciples in Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all. We have followed you. What shall we have therefore?" These men forsook all to follow Jesus. Matthew and others even deserted their jobs and occupations to be disciples. Now, you're not Matthew, and you're not these guys, and they did what they did because the Lord called them to follow him physically. Amen. Don't quit your job and just start walking somewhere. Praise God. But understand, we need to follow Jesus Christ in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, and with everything we've got, just like they did, to be his disciples. This is not a cakewalk. There will be storms. There's crooked roads. There's a small path. It's a narrow way. Amen. But we will make it. We will obtain a crown of righteousness if we seek the kingdom of God first. Amen. If it's our priority. Praise the Lord. And then let's look at Paul in Philippians 3. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Hallelujah. Yea, doubtless, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, Paul's saying, I give up anything for the Lord. That's no big deal to me. What's the big deal? For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Do you see what Paul is doing here? It's not Jesus having to feel good about the fact that Paul accepted him as his Savior. But what Paul is talking about is, I'm trying to get him to accept me. I'm trying to get him to be happy with me. I will forsake everything to make Jesus happy with me. It's not all about him to me. But somewhere along the line, it's got to dawn on us that it's going to have a whole lot to do with me to him. Is he that? And the whole ball of wax. Praise God. Amen. The New Testament virtually explodes with both men and women who desired the kingdom of God here and in eternity. Life itself seemed just a cheap price for them to pay to gain Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 catalogs men and women from the dawn of human history until the book was actually written. They so loved God and they so sought after him, no price was too great for them to pay. What a kingdom to evoke such a desire. My question, can its acquisition become our all-consuming passion and our object of desire? It's obvious from the Lord's teaching that we could easily become preoccupied with some things in life, like loving another master besides him, having food to eat. If I do what I'm supposed to do, we won't eat. Really? Providing something to drink. If I don't hold back, we won't have enough. Being occupied with clothing. Concerned over our physical stature more than we're concerned over our spiritual well-being. Worrying to death over the future. When the Lord has the whole world in his hand, if we'll seek him first, the future will be fine. Failing to trust God for life's necessities is apparently a lack of faith and characterizes us as being, O ye of little faith. Amen. God doesn't normally ask for all our time. God doesn't normally ask for all of our money. He doesn't condemn personal achievement, industry, and advancement. God's word allows us to achieve. It allows us to excel and abound. And to be good stewards over earthly goods. Possessing things doesn't mean we're displeasing God or out of his will. Having possessions doesn't make us spiritual either. Neither should they stop us from being spiritual. God's wishes, his will, his command to us is simply, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. To keep your life in balance and to obey his command, here's what we want you to consider, and I'll be done. Set your affections on things above. Love God and the things of God more than earthly things. Number two, lay up treasures in heaven. I'm just telling you, when you make a deposit in heaven, nothing can get its hands on it. It's an investment that will last forever. Amen. This can be done by giving time. Of course, your finances, your talents, all of this to God's work. Thirdly, set aside some of your time to engage in both physical and spiritual causes around the church. Do not forsake the church. This is the gateway to the kingdom. Amen. And then number four, take time to pray. Take time to fast. Take time to read your Bible. Attend church at church time. Be with your family at family time. And I can promise you tonight that God will bless you. Let me give you a couple more points. Give your tithing and your offering and your sacrifice to God. As you prosper, bless God's work and the less fortunate with your bounty. And then finally, bear in mind that things are temporary items for our using. Soon, we will leave them to give account to God of how we did actually use them. Amen. All He is asking is for us to seek Him first. How many of you are willing to do that? Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Amen. Making Him a priority. Making Him, simply put, everything. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could just take a moment and just close our eyes, reach out to God, and just you as an individual, not because someone else is doing or because someone else isn't or where I am, who I am, but because it's right. I wonder if tonight we can make a commitment to the Lord that we will seek your kingdom more diligently than we have in the past. Let's make that commitment, shall we? Let's just make that commitment, ladies and gentlemen. Call on the name of the Lord. Men, I'd love to hear your voices. Ladies, I'd love to hear your voices. Young people, let me hear your voices. Let the Lord hear you cry out and call on His name. Amen. Holy Ghost, we pray tonight, Lord, that we'd make it a priority, that we would put it on the list to do now, to seek the kingdom of God first, your righteousness first, understanding, Lord, that everything we have is just simply going to come and go when you're not in the center of what we're doing. We pray, Lord, that you would be the wheel in the middle of all this wheel. And Lord, that nothing less than your perfect will be done in our lives as we seek your kingdom first. As we prioritize in our mind, our heart, and our souls to put you number one, to seek your will. Lord, to seek your will in the car we drive, to seek your will in the money we give, to seek your will in how much we do for the glory of God, to seek your will for our family, to seek your will in every aspiration, everything that we do, Master, to seek your will, to seek your will. Holy Ghost, I don't want to own anything that's out of your will. I don't want to be anything that's out of your will. I don't want to go anywhere that's out of your will. I don't want my timing off. I don't want my seasons off. I want it all prioritized and in order. And so, Lord, help me to seek the kingdom of God first. And everybody shouted in Jesus' name, so be it. God bless you. Thank you again for being here tonight. And may the blessings of the Lord go with you continually. Amen.